Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by Loot Crate. Go to lootcrate.com/filthycasuals and enter the promo code Filthy Casuals for $3 off any new subscription today.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and very knowledgeable boys. My name is Tommy Dasilow. Thank you for joining us. As always, we also have...
Ben Vanell. It's great to be here, Tommy. Mm-hmm. It's a great time to be a gamer.
And also rounding out the trio,
Adam Knox. I get scared when you do your newsman Ben Vanell here, blah blah, because I feel like I have to match that tone, and I'm not a newsman. If anything, I'm an olds man.
I'm going to stop throwing a Ben first because it always casts a weird tone over the rest of proceedings, don't you think? He always comes out firing like he's got something, and then he just stops after like three words.
Totally.
And looks at me like I'm meant to steer the ship.
Yeah, well, because I know I have to sound like I've got something, but baby, I don't got nothing.
Fake it until you break down halfway through. That's what they say.
What a way to celebrate our momentous 101st episode. Because anyone can make it to 100, but it's keeping going after that. Yes. You know what I mean? The temptation to just sort of go, there's a nice round number there on the iTunes store. Yep. Let's bail out.
We got like the Queen Mother. I'm going to Google what age she died at. Because I think it might have been 101.
Is there a way we can start the episode and not throw to either Knox or me?
But it feels weird because I'm not, you know, I'm not the host.
No.
Like, I feel like I've got to get you guys in.
Absolutely.
And I used to kind of like announce the two of you.
Yes.
But that felt like I was pulling rank over you, like going, let's not forget that you are not allowed to speak until I've formally said your name on the show.
Oh, yeah.
The Queen Mother died when she was 101.
Okay.
It's funny how this is episode 101 and we're still figuring out exactly how to start.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say it's funny how we're still figuring out exactly how old the Queen Mother is. You don't want to go at 100. I reckon I either want to go at... I either want to cark it at like 60 or I want to make it to 100.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Anything in between is just going to be a real letdown.
Right.
I think I'd like to live forever.
Yeah.
Really?
I said this in our group chat. I want to be uploaded into a computer.
No, I know, but I took that more as a like, I took that less to do with the passage of time and more to do with how much you'd have to interact with human beings.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you're mentally preparing yourself for that already. Like in your head, you've already made the transition.
I just want to be able to do spreadsheets and stuff instantaneously.
I just want to be able to see all the nudes at once. don't you think, do you, Jen, is that true? If you could live
as
forever,
long as
would
I had,
you...
As long as I had the option to opt out whenever I wanted to.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not immortal. Like, you still can commit suicide if you want.
Because at some point, if you're immortal, when you, like, the universe dies before you then. And at some point, the end point of that is you in eternity just sitting there
just
with
sitting
nothing
there,
to do.
Yeah.
Or not even sitting. There's no chairs.
What if...
floating?
What if you can live forever, but your body still degrades like a normal person does?
No, never. No.
So you hit like 140 and you're fucked.
No, I'd
like,
have to maintain... ideally better health than I have now.
Totally. I'd prefer to not have degraded as much as I have.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can be immortal, but it's a snapshot of exactly as you are now.
Okay.
In everything you feel now.
Give me like a year and then take a snapshot.
No, right now.
Fine.
The level of tired you are, how you're feeling after the weekend, all of it, you've got to feel like that forever.
Okay. Right now I'm fine.
Yeah,
I just had a coffee.
I could do now.
Really?
I could do now. But I would prefer a year to prepare.
Yeah.
What, you know what's weird? People who say that they wish they didn't have to sleep. Do you know what I mean? Those
fuck,
people
man,
that
no,
are like,
I would love to not sleep.
That's, really?
That's exactly how I feel.
Really?
You think it's weird when someone comes up to you and says, I'd like to have a third more life than I do currently.
Yeah.
I just think like...
Do you notice, by the way, we've talked about living forever. None of us have brought up loved ones. That's always the thing is people saying, I don't want to see them die. Yeah. None of us going like, I don't want to be old. I want to be a baby forever.
I want to be fit and immortal.
The image of Ben uploading his conscience into a computer, consciousness into a computer. He hasn't told anyone in his family that this is happening. The image, and knowing what they all look like, no offense, but the image of a group of Vanels just gathered around this shit old laptop that's talking to them and they're all weeping going, son, why didn't you tell us you were doing this?
I was also imagining...
I'm like Google now.
I was also imagining a bad laptop. I don't know why.
I'm laptop Ben.
Oh, no. No.
I don't think horrific. I was smart enough to get that.
Horrific. No, you don't have a physics degree, my good man. But yeah, no, I think that I get what people are saying. They want more time. And I understand we all do. But I actually think if you would be able to somehow make yourself not sleep, like not need to sleep, the never having a reset button and the never having a switch off point, I think within maybe a month would kind of drive you insane.
No, but you meditate. You know, you can just lie down and zone out. That's what I'd do.
Yeah.
Maybe for like 7 hours a night.
I have had meditation sessions where I just have fallen asleep.
Yes.
And I'm like, so have I fucked it or am I just like super good at
it? You're nailing it, yeah.
That's all that's ever happened to me when I've tried to meditate.
Mm. Yeah. I think that's good. It means you're calm.
Yeah.
I guess. Or horrendously unhealthy and prone to just like really your body is constantly in a state of wanting to shut down.
Yeah. I don't think that I don't want to ever sleep. I think I want to never be tired.
Yeah.
And it is just like if I had a certain amount of sleep hours per week I had to fill.
Yeah.
And I could pick exactly when they would be.
Yeah.
So, because this is how Steve-O used to live, apparently. He'd have 2 weeks on or something and 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
So he'd just fill himself up with whatever it takes to get you through 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then live like a big old force of nature for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then for 2 weeks, sleep like a less interesting force of nature. Like more gravity.
And this sounds good to you. You're taking inspiration from a guy who staples his nuts to things. You're like, I mean, that guy's got it worked out.
That's how he chose to spend those 2 weeks.
Yes.
But that's also like the only example you could list of anyone who's done that. What if that's the thing that drives you? See, what if staying awake for 2 weeks? What if he had no desire to staples his gonads to anything and then all of a sudden just sleep deprivation drove him to it?
There's a theory that, because you know how no one knows what sleep is. Or why we have to do it.
Yeah.
It's like kind of just this unknown thing. Apparently, there's a theory that every living creature's default state is sleep, and being awake is just to get you food and stuff. It's like, it's not how you're meant to be.
Oh, right.
Do you see
like,
what I mean?
So like how like a mushroom can like just grow and it absorbs light and it absorbs moisture and it doesn't have to be conscious for it.
Yeah.
Because we have to go out and seek food and nourishment.
So cats and sloths and shit are more real than humans.
Oh man!
Because they sleep more.
I love this new podcast we've started.
Yeah.
Pretentious Fucks.
Welcome to Pretentious Fucks Sleep Chat. Ideally, ironically, it's the best way to get to sleep.
Yeah, this is an ASMR podcast now.
Yeah.
Well, awesome, sick,
men.
Maverick. Every letter I got to, the only words I could think of were ones I didn't want to say into a microphone. Or in my personal life either, because I speak the same everywhere.
Very good.
Yes.
Very good save.
Yes.
Well, speaking of things that put you to sleep, there's a trailer that came out for the new Tomb Raider movie.
Ooh.
What do you reckon? Pretty good? The segue.
Don't
jump the gun. I don't want your opinion on the trailer yet. I want to know what you thought of that segue.
The second you fucking have to make us analyze the segue, it becomes an awful segue.
You're pulling rank again, Tommy. You've tried to move away from that.
How is this pulling rank? Just after an honest opinion. Any of you are free to do that at any time.
Right. Yeah.
Actually, that's unfair to say falling asleep because
no, it was the it made me want to stay up and ride an annoyed tweet or something.
It made me want to run a marathon as long as the marathon is in the direct opposite position, direction of where the cinema is. I got to be honest, I didn't even know that this was happening.
Right.
Until the I don't read the trades. I'm not one of these Adam Knox types picking up Variety every morning and just scanning through it.
I'm always there on the train to work in the morning in my bowler hat and my big broadsheet newspaper.
Yeah, you got a push notification set up for the account at Deadline Hollywood.
I remember that they cast Alicia Vikander, who I can't place what she's been in.
She's been in Ex Machina.
Yeah, I never saw that.
Oh, is she the robot in Ex Machina?
Yeah.
Right.
And the Great Danish film. Girl, which she won the Oscar for?
Okay. It was the Danish girl, the one with Eddie Redmayne?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So I've never seen those movies.
Oh, she's great in Ex Machina. Oh, a really good movie.
Yeah, you should see Ex Machina. It's
talking
great.
About uploading yourself into a computer.
Mm. Yeah.
Ex Machina, baby.
Now, how horny did you get watching Ex Machina? I reckon you were one of these guys who... You got the real horn for it, didn't you? It ticks a lot of vanilla boxes.
I love Oscar Isaacs. He's a sexy man.
He is great.
Yeah.
It looks bad, Tomb Raider.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I didn't know this was happening. A weird... Was there another one after the Angelina Jolie one?
There's two.
She did two, right.
Yeah.
And then they tried to do another one, I think,
that
maybe.
Never got off the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe that's Uncharted. Possibly. Yeah.
Yeah. So... I guess that first one did all right. I get all right enough
I think
to
so,
warrant
yeah.
a sequel.
Yeah,
but I remember
that was like Angelina Jolie's like star making sort of thing, wasn't it? She was had been acting and then
yeah, I think you're right actually. Well, because that was when it was off the back of it being a huge franchise.
Yeah,
and also like you know all the teenage boys that are into it at the time going, "Whoa, Lara Croft." I remember there being a lot of like speculation of like,
imagine looking at a girl.
Who do you get to portray the world's most perfect babe come to life?
Pamela Anderson was busy.
Imagine they don't even dye her hair. Just get Pammy in there.
She's blonde. In the red swimsuit.
Yeah, yeah, blonde locks and all. So yeah, I guess what this is off the back of that last game coming out.
It looked like popular. It looked like it was taking a hell of a lot of cues from the first reboot one, which was I guess just called Tomb Raider.
Yes,
just called Tomb Raider.
Yep. And It looks really similar.
It was running through the same sort of story beats.
Totally.
With Walton Goggins' character, which I don't think was in the game.
Oh, there was a sort of equivalent. There was a sort of equivalent.
Because I didn't enjoy the story to either of those games, really.
Yeah, I thought they were fine. They weren't as like rollicking adventures as Uncharted, but they were fine.
Oh, and you know what my problem with it as well was? Because the first one... It's
female
like,
heroine, you can't handle it?
That's it. The first one, like her arc was...
Oh, the laptop's done it again.
Just flicking through all the jokes, all the references, all the things about Knox that I know for a fact.
I'm very excited when you just crash or get coffee spilt on you.
Oh, no. No more copies for you.
The story, like the first one was, you know, Lara Croft at that point hadn't been an adventurer.
Yes.
And it was her becoming, the sort of torture porn in those games was weird.
Yes.
Which
particularly strange death animations.
And there were little flashes of that, of like falling a long way, getting hurt.
Yeah.
And it just the lingering was just a weird thing.
Yeah.
But so the story was her becoming... competent as a Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
And then in Rise of the Tomb Raider, she was still seeming to be under the same sort of, I'm overwhelmed by this, you know, wasn't fucking double guns superhero.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
In the Dark Knight trilogy of story structure, she had Batman Begins, but then the Dark Knight, she was still kind of Batman Beginning.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and I just feel like they didn't give a shit about her character beyond being a sort of deer in the headlights, feel sorry for them almost character.
What's weird about these movies is that, so there's not a great deal of story in the games, correct?
There is a great deal of story. It's just not that good.
Okay, but the story is just an excuse for... You're running around, you're this hero.
Well, weirdly, like, the story drives it a little bit in, like, all the fun stuff in those games to me was very much side of the story.
Yeah.
All so the tomb raiding.
It's not like it's this thing where you have these, like, big story beats.
But there was a lot of that through it as well, though.
So you think they're replicating that? Because my point is with her as a character, it's not like Batman where you go... You know, you have to know that his parents got shot in the alleyway.
Kind of
stuff.
Oh, you've ruined Batman for me.
Oh, Ben. It's like, why
not just... Spoiler both for Ben and for Bruce Wayne's life. It very much spoiled his life, I feel like.
Why not just take that character and just do, like, anything with it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, no, I disagree with that. I think there is some pretty specific this is what Lara Croft is stuff.
Totally. There's a lot of stuff with the dad and living up to his legacy.
Yeah, she's a rich British lady who, like, kind of in a Batman way, that funds her ability to do this.
Totally.
But the thing that the original games had her be was this just, like, super overcompetent, like, ridiculous superhero backflips motherfucker.
Yeah.
And the...
She was like a female Indiana Jones.
And times 10 though, because Indiana Jones is always like, oh fuck, I'm on a Nazi's car.
Yeah, that's uh-oh. True. Yeah, yeah.
And she was like, I'm deliberately shooting a T-Rex.
I'm a super soldier. Yeah.
Which that's more like, just make a film of that.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, that's sick.
Kind of what that first Tomb Raider was it was very...
Yeah.
She was like James Bond or something.
It was very Matrix era.
Yeah.
So she was doing, you know, the cartwheels over huge buildings. I don't think that
And
happened.
Also from the looks of this...
A cartwheel over a building.
that's a hell of a lot of inertia she's got going.
Well, it's multiple cartwheels up and on.
Oh, so that's cool.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know, man. This trailer, no U2 song in it.
Yeah.
That's not my Tomb Raider.
I would say it's a particularly bad trailer.
It is. Well, and the CGI and shit looked terrible. In trailers, it's being put up before that stuff's finalized.
And the cast is really good.
Well, okay. Sure. So, yeah, you've got the great man Walton Goggins.
Yeah.
He's in there. Any fans of The Shield or Vice Principals?
Yeah.
Two fantastic shows. He's had a bit of a bit of a good trot. Doing Tarantino movies.
Yeah. Yes.
So hopefully he's not Tarantino'd up and just throwing the N-word at Lara Croft nonstop. Yeah. That'd be a shame.
Yeah, well, yeah, he looked like the typical sort of... Often when there's like a female hero in a film, the male antagonist is also super creepy.
Yeah.
Because it had that shot of him like running the back of the fingers down the face and like, oh, you know, I'm king of this island or whatever he was. Yeah.
He's in that great position where I reckon...
Doggy style?
One of the top three.
Yeah, right.
And there are only three.
Yeah, right now, as we're recording this, we did get a hot scoop down the wire before we recorded that Walton Goggins is currently engaging in doggy style.
Yep.
I reckon he'd be that thing now where any script that gets written now that has a character like that in it would specifically list a Walton Goggins type.
Yes.
Yeah, or like Michael Shannon could do it as
well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like. Both very good actors.
Yeah.
Two of my favourite actors of all time.
Weird yet handsome faces.
Yeah, I don't know if Walton Goggins is handsome.
He's handsome.
He is. I reckon he's handsome.
You think he's handsome?
Yeah.
Okay.
We had this argument the other day about whether there are... any ugly actors.
Yes. Fuck, what a debate that was. One for the ages.
I need to hear more about this.
Well, because I feel like I can't remember what my position was, honestly. I wasn't that invested in the argument.
You were saying that there are no ugly leads.
Yeah.
What
character actors are
ugly actors. Yeah. Character actors are ugly actors. That's Knox's position.
And they call them character because I couldn't understand what a character actor was. Because every actor's playing a fucking character.
Yes.
That's the point.
It is a dumb term, yes.
Like, I'm not a character actor. I'm going to do what I want. And you better build a film around it.
But what it means is not a lead.
Right. So a supporting actor.
Yeah.
I thought character actors were more just like they kind of get typecast as like... the same sort of goofy...
Right.
Like Danny Trejo made sense to me when someone said that. Like he's kind of a character actor because he's always the sort of same threatening...
Well, what's his name? Stephen Tobolowsky?
Oh, yeah.
He's like... He kind of always gets held up as like the character actor.
Yeah.
Stephen Tobolowsky sounds like a name you've made up to a cop.
Yeah. My name's Stephen Tobolowsky.
Stephen Tobolowsky.
I was in Groundhog Day. But it's true. When you think of character actors, I think of like Steve Buscemi. He's funky looking.
Yeah,
totally. And then it turned into being like, but is he ugly if you met him on the street?
Right.
Are there any actual ugly actors?
Yeah. It sounds like a thrilling conversation you guys
Nobody's
had the other
ugly.
Day, and I'm bummed I wasn't there to witness it in the flesh.
Oh.
But yeah, it did look just like a real schlocky kind of very. Written by committee and film, you know what I mean?
It just looks like it could be any. It's just like it. Who cares? It just
like the
looks
Transporter
like,
or something, but with less of even like a fun sort of. He's a ridiculous.
This is the thing about Tomb Raider is that I just don't think it's a strong enough story and character and franchise. Like, it's not a unique enough concept that it's like making a movie. Like, this could just be like, if that had just been a movie with any other title that wasn't connected to Tomb Raider at all, you wouldn't look at it and go, oh, that looks kind of Tomb Raider-y. You'd go, oh, that's a cool action movie with a female lead.
Totally. Right. I feel the same way about Uncharted, the idea of that
Absolutely.
Being made into a movie.
Yeah, I kind of hope once that never happens, because who cares?
Yeah, once it is no longer a video game, it loses all of its uniqueness.
Yeah, it's unique in the landscape of a video game, but it would be more strong to just, if that team had gone, let's make an action movie with a cool female lead, rather than like pinning it to this.
See, I think the problem is that the people making this movie aren't very talented.
I mean, I don't know. I don't want to throw that at them because I don't know.
But I think
also, and to be fair, trailers always shit these days.
Yeah. But I think
let's hear him out. He's booted up the honesty simulator. Yeah, let's hear what he's got to say.
I think that with Tomb Raider, all you take out of it is like female protagonist. Dad, who is like an explorer, she's very rich, but she wants to prove herself. Give mm-hmm. that to good screenwriters and a good director. That could be a good movie.
That's true.
Uncharted, you take this fun, like, adventurer guy looking for treasure.
Raiding
give that
Lost
to a good
Arcs.
Team. Right. Like, yeah. it
That's
it
my favorite
be,
movie, Raiders it, of the Lost Ark.
Right. The model can equal good movie.
Yeah.
It's just that these people are churning out
I
a
mean,
product.
Maybe. We're also,
but we don't know yet, yeah. I guess.
We're also living in
like
a
that.
Time where, you know, video I think what's happening is studios are just trying to do like get video game movies to the point that comic book movies became.
Sure.
Where comic
sure.
book movies for a long time didn't have a lot of legitimacy to them and were kind of every new one that came along it was like, oh yeah, here we go, they're having another crack. And then eventually they kind of got it right. That hasn't happened yet with video game movies. Yeah, who knows if it ever will, but gosh darn it, they keep having a good old crack, don't they?
The problem with video game movies versus comic book movies is that comic books have, you know, 100 years? Less than that.
Yeah.
Many, many years of a lot of stories, plenty of which were shit, but plenty of which were great.
That's true. Comic books, as much as they're built on art styles, they're built on writers.
Well, totally. And also comics as a medium are closer to movies as a medium than video games are to movies.
Sure.
Video games
I disagree.
So
video games are on TV. Movies are on TV. Wrong.
They're physically closer.
Oh, and then Nick Frost comes in at the end.
Yeah.
Which again is like, it's just this weird tonal thing where it's like having a little muck around when you've seen the trailer.
Yeah.
No, you've got it. He's playing the Simon Pegg character in Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
You know, like, him being in it, that's fine.
It kind of feels like hedging their bets a little bit of like, hey, action movie fans.
Yeah.
Hey, video game fans.
Yeah.
Hey, Walton Goggins is a respected actor. Hey, Nick Frost is funny.
We're just talking about making a movie at this point, though. Like,
that's the thing. The choices on the surface are like a respectable female lead who's on an award winner.
Academy Award winner, which of course they would anyway, but when movies put that up in an action, do you know what I mean?
It's a dog shit trailer.
Yeah. But like they've cast the movie well, but let's wait and see if it's actually good.
The little tiny bits of action that they showed in it particularly looked laughable.
Yeah, if the action's not good in an action movie, then
her ducking underneath those spikes coming at her looked really silly.
Yeah,
it looked bad.
It looked, yeah.
I've just realised I forgot to do any of our plugs, so let's do that now.
Okay.
Patreon, we're on Patreon. You can support us over there, and thanks to everyone who has done so already.
Yeah.
If you get in quick, we are just about to put up our first bonus episode when people hear this, which is where we are focusing on Super Metroid. We've all been playing it. We're going to do, it's like a book club thing where you're encouraged to, we announce a month in advance what we're playing. You can play along with us, and we'll read out your comments on the show if you're in our Facebook group, which you are if you get that episode. Check that out. Also, if you're in Sydney, we are going to be doing a live show up there December 16 at Cake Wines, a wonderful venue which I just did a show at recently.
I'm looking forward to eating cake and drinking wine, which I assume is what happens there.
Well, you prepare to be 50% sad.
Oh.
So that's going to be great.
I'm way ahead of you.
I met a bunch of Sydney filth last time I was up there, so it seems like, you know what? I took all your names down, and if you don't show up, I'm going to find you all, and I'm going to fucking gut you like a fucking trout. Go to our website, filthycasuals.com.au, for links to both of those things.
Yes.
Yeah. So what else is going on?
What else is new? What do you do for a living?
What else should I talk about?
Were there more trailers out this week? Well, so there were trailers out sort of at TGS in Japan.
Yep.
Stands for the Tokyo Game Show.
Nice.
It's a game show that happens in Tokyo.
I've been to Tokyo.
Oh, me neither.
me too.
I would love to go to Japan. That'd be fun.
You should.
It's great.
Yeah.
In the past couple of weeks, they had the half price flights.
Mm.
It's like $300 to go to Japan.
I thought it was going to be some product sold in Japan that was half price. Oh, I thought no. You were going to go in Japanese Target.
You'd love it. If Sydney goes well, next live show, Tokyo. Oh, what do you reckon?
Sure.
Fuck yeah.
If anyone wants to come,
yeah. Let's do the Tokyo Filthy Casuals Podcast Festival.
Oh, man. Great. I'd love to know if we've got any listeners in Japan.
Oh, yeah. Good yeah. Stuff.
Yeah.
Well, so if you are in Japan, you might have seen. So there wasn't a huge amount of stuff that came out of TGS that sort of piqued my interest, other than predominantly Monster Hunter World. They showed a lot of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That game, I think, looks really fun. Yeah. I know that, like, Monster Hunter, the people who like it really like it.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping to become one of those people.
Totally.
This is. So they showed a lot of. Sort of different people playing the same sort of demo area where you're hunting this one monster. They're all, I said monster. Monster Hunter Monster Hunter would be a great game.
Monster Hunter?
I've got to find the dad. He was a Frankenstein.
Oh, yes.
The mother was a Dracula.
I'm a bit more of a fan of the Addams Family
Me
games.
Too.
I watched a compilation of best Addams Family moments.
Was that just all your home movies from being a kid? Addams Family?
Yeah. My Uncle Thing. He's a hairy man.
Your name's Adam.
But he's funny. Yeah, Monster Hunter World looks really great.
What's the release date on that, Noxie?
They announced that. It was January 26 next year.
Cool.
Hopefully no longer Australia Day as of next
Monster
year.
Monster Hunter Day.
Oh, Monster Hunter Day,
so,
yeah.
Sorry, guys. Can't be Australia Day anymore. Yeah. It's Monster Hunter Day.
Yeah. That's it. It looks like a really gameplay-focused game. It looks like it's going to be quite big. Yep. So I think you'll like it, Tommy, just because it's very...
Well, we watched the trailer and I love everything that's going on except the combat.
Right.
I kind of had a look at it and went... Eh,
so the combat is the thing that I think has always seemed... At a distance, it looks as though it's broken.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like there's a lot of monsters clipping through the environment and like...
Right.
But so I was talking to my brother about this. He's a big Monster Hunter fan.
Right.
And the explanation to me was that it's designed almost as though like it's designed primarily with it being, what's the word, like predictable. Right. So if you knock a monster over, he's not going to fall down a cliff. You can figure out exactly what you're going to need to do.
Oh, okay.
Because it's so unforgiving that you kind of need to plan it ahead. And if it were to fuck you because there's physics involved in the way that there might be in some other game, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it looks like it is a specific sort of thing and that would appeal to a certain group of people, and that's why it's maybe not well. And also, it's been on the 3DS predominantly for the last like decade or something.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see how that design sensibility will translate into mass appeal, or whether it will translate into mass appeal.
Yeah. Well, it's a big series in Japan, so I think
it's
but
huge.
Because this one's on PS4,
and Xbox One, and on the PC at some point later.
So this is its. I guess this is they're viewing this as like, hey, this is its chance to like make the big leap into having a big Western fan base.
That's why they've called it World, because they didn't want to call it 5.
This
will be a jumping in point idea. But yeah, it looks like it. Could potentially be a very niche thing that, I'm really fascinated to see whether or not it will appeal to me and plenty of other people as well. But I think it looks cool. Also, the Dragon Ball Z fighting game, there was some more stuff about, and I still think that looks fucking rad.
Yeah, that looks
cool.
Awesome.
It looks really cool. Because there's two coming out, aren't there? Which ones?
I don't know.
Xenoverse?
Oh, no, that's I think already out.
Right, because there's Xenoverse and then there's this one.
And this is Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yeah,
that looks sick.
It's one of the best looking games I've ever seen in the way that it just does that art
style
so well.
Yeah.
And that's coming out, I think,
around the same time. Yeah, so that's nice. Cool.
We didn't get to this last week, but there was a Nintendo Direct just after we recorded two weeks ago, and a couple of things from that. They showed off a lot more of Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Mm, I think that looks bad.
Similar to how I feel about Monster World, I was watching it going...
Monster World.
I am Monster Hunter. Monster Hunter World.
Yes.
Monster World is just better. I mean, it is a monster world.
Man, oh, baby.
That's the world we already live in, man.
Why are we going to be hunting them? You know, why can't we just be like, you know, learning from them, training them,
scariest
trying to
thing
fuck them?
You want to play, you want to play Monster Lover World.
The boss at the end, the boss at the end of Monster World, it's just a person. Turns out they were the real monsters all along.
Oh. See, this is that Nick Frost bit I was talking about after all the serious discussion. A little bit of light and shade. They showed off like a big chunk of it in the Nintendo Direct, kind of really focusing on sort of what you're doing and I guess bringing people up to speed who have no concept of what Xenoblade is and haven't played the first one.
This really weird voiceover of like a grandpa.
A character in the game telling you about the game that he's in.
Yes. Well, this is my friend Jonathan and I think you'll find he sells items at the shop. Just like this really
kind of dumb, but I kind of loved it.
And he was like an island monster and a little guy as well. He could be.
So this is the shame. All the lore of it and like the running around. I was like, I am fucking all in for this. This looks great. And then the second they started showing the combat, I was like, ah, what a shame. I'm out and I'm never coming back. It just looks. I just like something I'd never be able
That's
to
kind of
around.
The opposite reaction to me.
Yeah, oh, really? Me too. Yeah, yeah.
Because the world looked fine. I think the sort of monsters you're living on the back of look, that's fun.
That's cool. Yeah.
The voice acting was fucking awful and it was so poorly synced with what the anime and I think the art style looks quite shit, specifically the characters.
The characters, the designs look kind of dated, but the voice acting thing, I was just like, this is when I'm still in. I was just like, oh, I guess I'll be going straight into the options menu and turning this language off.
Yeah, yeah.
If you can.
Well, hopefully,
But it we'll wait and see, but it didn't look necessary.
I mean, again, I think it's going to be a big thing in Japan, but I'm out at this point.
I'm in.
You're in.
I'm well in.
Well in.
I don't really hate any of the superficial aspects, and I think it looks really fun to play.
Yeah.
I want to play a game like this, and I want to like it.
Totally.
It looks looks like a cool big game on the Switch, which it kind of needs a bit more of at the moment.
Yes.
It looks like it's a big world. Like. Yeah.
I wonder if you'll need if playing the first one will be any sort of requirement.
But it came out near the end of the week, so surely they'd be banking on kind of assuming that not many people have played it.
That would be the smart move.
The big announcement. Well, I think that the main big announcement from the Nintendo Direct was that Doom and Wolfenstein 2 are both coming to the Switch.
Yes.
Now this is
Wolfenstein 2 especially was a big surprise.
Yeah, because
it's going to be new.
Yeah, it's going to be brand new.
Although it's coming out several months after the release date on the other stuff.
Yeah, I don't think anyone saw this coming. This is, I think this is really interesting, like in terms of like, you know, what this could mean for the Switch, but it's also a big risk because Nintendo for the last decade have not had the best third-party support. Sometimes they've had basically no third-party support.
Yes.
But or first.
The Switch being a success, I guess, means that it's viable for a company to look at doing stuff like this.
Which Bethesda were saying they were going to all along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's going to need to be – the big challenge is Doom is going to – well, they're both going to need to be, but I guess Doom is coming out first. It's going to need to be scaled down quite a bit in order to work on that hardware. And the big challenge will be does it – if it doesn't run properly or the scaling down that they've had to do makes it feel like in any way a compromised experience, then it's just going to be dead on arrival, I think. And, I mean, if this is if it comes out and it's a success and it sells and it works, then I reckon the gates are going to open and you're going to see a lot more of these potentially scaled down ports, or it'll give other third-party developers a lot of faith in doing it.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting risk.
I mean, like with how well the Switch has done, it seems like people have suddenly and to their surprise been put in a position where like, oh fuck, we need to have something out on this.
Yeah.
This is selling well, so we need to make something work for it. Like FIFA and the NBA game and all those sort of things,
I don't know this for sure, but I think what's happened with them is that they're slightly scaled back versions of the main console ones.
Yeah.
Which that sucks. That's shitty. If you're playing everything should come out for everything.
If you're playing FIFA 18 or 19 or whatever the fuck one is coming 18. Out, 18 on your Switch on as a home console on the TV, and it's worse than it would be on the PS4, then why would you get it?
Totally.
Because that's the only console you have. That's what it's appealing to. But the thing with something like FIFA is a weird one for them to bother with, because if you're a real FIFA head, well, you've got a PS4 or an Xbox to play that on.
Yeah.
I guess it's just like if you want to play it on the go, that's strictly what it is.
Right.
Like, so, you know, perhaps you played Doom on the PS4 already and you loved it, and just being able to take it on the go for the second time around you play it is enough for you.
Yeah.
Like, I played it on the PC and I'm on my way to that sort of mentality depending on how good it is.
Well, they had it at a game show over the weekend and so a few kind of off-screen videos have emerged and some sort of hands-on thoughts. Mm. And for the most part, people are saying that it works, like it is scaled down, but it doesn't look like shit. I mean, the Switch is – it's underpowered compared to everything else. But let's be realistic. It still is a – it's got – it's – you know what I mean? Like it still
can make things
that look good.
That engine they used for Doom 2 was really well, like – optimized to run on whatever too.
Right.
So they're kind of starting – ahead of the
So by all accounts, this is people playing it undocked, and it runs well. It's like it's 30 frames per second, so it's not amazingly smooth.
Yeah,
there've been some reports of a bit of slowdown in some more hectic parts, but Bethesda have also said it's still undergoing a lot of optimization.
Yeah,
that's kind of, I get the impression that's all they're doing at the moment is just working around the clock to bring it up to speed. But who knows? I mean, this is the thing: if it comes out and it just hasn't been feasible to get this thing, putting a PS3 game or like bringing over some old PS3 stuff makes sense. Trying to get a current gen thing on there, it's the fucking stones on these guys.
Yeah, yeah. I'm much more inclined and probably like definitely will get and play Skyrim. I don't think I want to play a proper first-person shooter on the Switch.
Yeah.
No. I am reaching the point where I'm not sure I want to play them on the controller just at the moment, just because I've adjusted back to keyboard and mouse being.
Yeah. Right.
Good. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And that. Specifically the Joy-Con controllers aren't good.
No.
For that sort of thing.
That's been a big report of people playing Doom in handheld mode, which is the only option that was available to them at this show, was that the Joy-Con just don't work for the level of finesse that you need. It's just – which then you go, well, if that negates playing it in handheld portably, well, then why are you bothering? If it's a type of game that just doesn't lend itself to being played like that, well, what's the point?
Totally, because if any game that came out, if it was a parody on the Switch and everything else, I would lean towards getting the Switch version every time.
Yeah,
yes,
for that portable thing.
Yes,
yes. But now that I have a Switch, then yes, I would do that.
Yeah,
but then it's an interesting one. Like if you haven't played Doom and you don't own a PS4. Then are you the kind of person who would have held out and bought a Switch? Like,
well,
that situation, it doesn't
seem like it is. By the time this comes out, by the time Doom comes out on the Switch, it's coming out as a full-priced retail game.
Have they said that? The full price thing? I would be surprised if it was that.
Well, because this is my point, is that you can get it for like 15, but there's sales on the stores all the time. It's old enough that it's heavily discounted.
They would be crazy if that is a full price game that they bring out.
But I reckon look it has all the DLC stuff with it, though. It's a big studio thing.
Look at the Nintendo Switch eShop. Like, there's a lot of things that are $80 that should be $40.
It'll come out in the shops for, $60, but it'll be like a full package retail thing, which, again, if you've never played it and you don't own another console, probably fine. But when the reality is a lot of people these days have multiple consoles, that's the big challenge. If you're bringing something out that much later and it's severely downgraded, to expect a full price thing when it's been out for a year and you can get for $10 is pushing it.
Yeah.
But you know what? Like the fact that this is even happening at all is great. You know, as someone who loves Nintendo and has been frustrated in the past by third-party support, means they just don't sell systems, which just means that they don't put as much into it in terms of making their own games. So it's cool that this is even happening, and who knows, it might be a great flop and then we don't see these types of games again, or
yeah,
the third party support dwindles off. But the fact that it's even successful enough this early on for a company like that to take a punt is pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting move in the sense that, like, yeah, it seems like they're making more of a deal than they should, because it is, if you raise the stakes, then the risk is high.
Yeah.
If you just are like, oh yeah, these games are going to come out on the Switch, and then they come out and people get them or they don't.
Yeah.
I don't think it should. Yeah, be built up like this. It's not going to be swaying anyone, and it could fail.
But yeah. But they need to build up noise about the fact that you can get whatever on the Switch.
And, and I guess the good thing is, yeah, like you said, the fact that it's happening. It may not in itself be a big successful move, but you just got to start somewhere, I guess.
See what happens.
Yeah,
I'd be very interested to know how much of this was Bethesda or id or whatever, whoever's making those decisions, going, we need to be on the Switch because people are there, and how much of this was Nintendo going, hey, we got the Switch, come over here for a little bit of cash.
We'll pay for the downscaling. Yeah. You know, like,
maybe. Yeah. I guess it's. I think it
was in their direct and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. It just feels like it's them testing the waters with these things that are kind of already there, that are kind of already sitting there. And it's like, let's see how viable this is to now start developing this version in tandem, where we're kind of building it from the ground up a bit, and maybe the downscaling won't be as noticeable because you're kind of building it in a different way.
The way all of these consoles are made these days too, like if you're making a PC version of anything, you can kind of do a PS4, an Xbox One, and I'd imagine a Switch version relatively easily. Because if you're making a PC version, you've got to already have it scalable to all these things.
Yes, that's true. That's a good point.
I don't think Nintendo ever... I reckon they're just going to, from here on out, just make the Switch 2, the Switch 3, the Switch 4. Like,
they'd be stupid.
I really think their days of fucking around with new controller types and new... So, you know, maybe it gets to a point where they start going, okay, the next thing we have to do is just take this and just soup up the hardware so it is at parity.
Yeah.
Because then if you've got something that is a PS4 but also I think what will start to happen is the next iteration of PS4 and Xbox, I reckon they'll start to do the same thing as the Switch. Like, you'll get to a point potentially where you've just got all these home consoles that are also portable that are all kind of running at the same power.
Maybe.
But
there's just such this pissing contest of power, though, with the PS4 Pro and the Xbox One X. And it'll be interesting to see if the next consoles are a half step up from that again. And, like, it's weird because the way that phones work and stuff these days, it's weird to know how that sort of arms race will go from now on.
Yeah.
Another piece of interesting Switch news from the last week and a half was this story kind of played out over about, what, like a week? That someone found the code for the NES Golf, the golf game on the original Nintendo from, what, 1980-something?
Something like that.
Yeah, hidden in the Switch code, and... I think it started off with no one knew how to kind of access it. It was just kind of sitting in there.
Yeah.
So the theory was that it was them like testing whether it could emulate.
Yes, the virtual console stuff kind of ready to go. And then what has come out is that people found out how to unlock it on you can only unlock it on, I think it was the...
It's like, so I may be wrong about this. Your Switch has to never have connected to the internet. So you can't just disconnect it. It has to have never touched the internet.
Yep.
You know, unlike you, computer boy.
I'm always logged on.
And then I think it's the 11th of July, which I'm pretty sure was the date when Iwata passed away.
Yeah, right. That was the day that Iwata passed away. So the former president, CEO of Nintendo, very well known because he was like the face of the Nintendo Directs for a while, has been at the company forever, is kind of sort of seen as sort of the godfather of like all the stuff that people kind of love about it, very revered in the industry. NES Golf was the first thing that he ever worked on. So, yeah, the date of his passing, people were able to unlock it by...
11th of July next year, though. So it has to be set to 2018 too.
Right, right. Yeah. Oh, that's how people did it, was by
changing the clock,
not having
in there,
the internet on and changing the clock on it. Right, right.
Yeah.
I thought they'd done it this year and just kind of slept on it.
No, yeah. Until, so it'll be next year. And so nobody knows really if it's going to unlock for everybody just on that day or whatever.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
if it's just hidden in there as like a memorial thing for
but
Nintendo.
But the way that people unlocked it was by holding the Joy-Con and doing this little gesture that he kind of very famously did in the Nintendo Direct. He did this kind of little hand motion.
Like handing it to you almost. Yeah. Like, please, welcoming.
So someone's uploaded a video of them. The Switch isn't online. They've changed the date on it. And then they've done this little gesture. And then NES Golf just appears on the screen.
Yeah, right.
And you can just start playing it with the Joy-Con.
Mm.
And there's like, it's kind of a, like there's this kind of like Japanese idea of like the, like having like a sort of a talisman or a, like a, like having a kind of a ghost of someone kind of look over you for good
like
luck. I'm butchering what it actually is.
No,
but
yeah, right.
Yeah, but the theory is that it's in there because he, by the time he passed away, they would have been well onto working on it, so he would have known that it was going on, and it just them kind of putting his spirit in there sort of for good luck to oversee it.
A memorial mixed with a good luck charm mixed with a... Yeah,
It's
super sweet.
They declined to comment on it, but it's just, it's like, what else can it be? Like, it all just perfectly lines up. And it's amazing. It's so beautiful and cute
and very
sweet.
Nintendo.
And it's very Nintendo.
Yeah,
and
there was a similar thing in Breath of the Wild. I don't know if we've talked about this, but where, you know those little blue rabbit things and you shoot them and you get rupees?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They show up at night or whatever.
Yeah.
There's a mountain where there's a little spring and a tree that's different from every other one in the game. And when you go there at a certain time or something, there's a big deer version of those rabbits. And if you, there's some way of finding a description of it or something, or you talk
to someone.
Take
the camera, do a thingy.
Maybe that's it. And
scan it, it whatever.
It describes it being this presence that looks over everyone. And it's in some way.
It's him.
It's Iwata
as well. Right. Yeah. It's pretty amazing. Like,
yeah.
That kind of stuff is so bizarre. And the people that find this, like the knowing that you had to do the gesture in order to unlock it, the guy just saw in the code that it was referring to some six-axis stuff that he's like, oh, so the Joy-Con,
right.
I don't know how, I haven't read enough on it
I never know how
he deduced all of that.
Yeah. How people figure this shit out.
Those people that go data mining and then find like, oh, this stuff's hidden in the code, so that probably means we're going to get like an unlockable, there's more stages yet to be revealed in DLC or whatever. Those people are fucking
it's
nuts.
Such a nice way of like, like, I don't feel like it is sort of a Japanese thing to do to memorialize someone like that. And we don't like, we memorialize people in the West by going like, 10 people you didn't realize have fucking died. Some like list. It's like, remember Philip Seymour Hoffman died?
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so that was a super cool thing from the week. There hasn't been a heap of other news that we need to catch up on.
There was a thing with PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Yes, and Fortnite Battle Royale.
So, yeah, Battle Royale is like a mode in that game.
Yeah.
And it's the Epic Games one who made Unreal. I haven't played that. I think it's free to play.
I don't know what Fortnite is, and I hadn't really heard of it until this.
So it's a multiplayer shooter.
Right.
And they added a mode that was... And so Unreal Engine is made by Epic, and that's what PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds use.
Oh.
And some exec from the company Bluehole, I think it's called, which I think is a disgusting name.
It is a bit weird.
He like came out and went, I reckon they stole it from us. And he clarified it later in the week by being like, what I kind of meant was if they have a competing product, but they're meant to be helping us with the engine, then...
Isn't that a bit shit?
It's a conflict of interest. And why wouldn't they... But everyone, like, and myself included, has kind of gone, but you didn't invent this type of game.
Not at all.
Yeah. And
Fortnite used the name for the mode that is taken from the movie that clearly inspired the mode that's in Battlegrounds.
And like, then there's 600 other fucking mods and stuff.
Yeah.
That, not 600, there's like four, but that had done this beforehand. And it just seems like a really weird move to come out and be like, it's plagiarism.
Yeah, you can't use Capture the Flag. We use Capture the Flag.
Yeah.
We made a game called Capture the Flag. It's our thing.
Yeah, the right trigger shoots the gun in our game too.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's and so it just is a bad look for
a game that's so successful right now. Mm. They don't need to be having these shitty little petty fights.
Yeah.
Battlegrounds is great. Just be great.
And yeah, it just looks really, really bad.
Yeah.
And is wrong. Like, he's incorrect. Yeah. I could get how you'd think, but yeah, just, and so there's something, talk about a lawsuit.
Yeah.
And that's just some stupid shit.
Just leave it alone. You just continue to be the better game and you'll win.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a big release this week was The Witness, a game that we spoke about when it first came out on the show and we all really loved.
I didn't really play it.
You didn't really love it? Okay.
No, I just didn't play it much.
Oh, okay. Right.
I think it was my game of the year that year.
I think it might have been.
I don't really remember.
You had it on your list.
It was up high, so...
I loved it for a bit and then I just hit a wall where I was like, I'm just literally not smart enough to solve this puzzle and I'm never going to. So yeah. See, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm pretty smart. I understand physics. I like Rick and Morty. Mm-hmm. And so I really gel with it. And so, yeah, there's an iOS version of it coming out for iPhones like 5S and up. And
right.
Some kind of iPads.
Yeah, yeah.
And it works super well.
Mm. Yeah.
I've been playing it a bit, going back in.
A nice little boast of letting the listeners know that you have at least an iPhone 5S. We get it, mate.
Look, I've robbed a lot of kids and a lot of them have worse phones. But when I robbed the one who had a good phone...
Finally. Mm. It's a numbers game. Eventually,
it's all
if
it
you
is.
Bash and rob enough kids, eventually you're going to get a rich one.
And if you morally think it's okay to rob one kid, what's the difference in robbing 105?
Exactly.
Roughly.
Yeah.
No one has a quota.
Yes. And if you buy an iPhone, then you're contributing to the unhappiness of millions of children.
Exactly. So it's just karma.
That's
in
right.
In many ways, Knox is just doing God's work.
Yeah. If anything, he's being more honest and upfront about it.
Yeah.
If anyway. Anything, I love Adam Knox and I think he's the best example of a human that's ever lived.
It's a really great port of it. They said they were going to do this, I feel like, when it came out. And so it's taken quite a long, long time for it. But so you just
I guess it makes sense. They want people to buy it on the platforms that it was already out on.
Yeah.
It seems like it might have taken quite a while to do too because
right.
the movement system in it is completely different.
Mm.
You sort of tap where you want to go.
It's cool that they haven't defaulted to having, you know, where it's like a fake joystick on the screen.
It's an awful way of controlling stuff because without that tactile feedback of actually touching a stick, you never know where you're at.
Yeah,
you
got to touch and that stick.
So they've had to program in like a whole pathfinding thing.
Yeah.
And it works super well. I'm never going somewhere I didn't mean to go unless my fat fingers hit the wrong part of the screen. But that's not their fault.
Sounds like that would happen frequently.
I use a dialing wand and it fixes it. But yeah, it's that's still a great game. It's like lower resolution and stuff on the phone.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's a bit of a battery drainer and you kind of need to wear headphones for it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not super like on the go.
Yeah, those kind of involved games on the iPhone tend to suck up a lot of battery.
Yeah.
But, you know,
and
whatever.
I don't believe it's on any Android devices yet,
right.
Which is a shame.
Because I just got an Android phone.
Did you really?
Yes. Yeah. I had an iPhone 6 and the battery just kind of got fucked and it wouldn't charge. So I changed.
Fuck, it's a big move moving away from Mac at this point.
I know.
I'll never do it. Like, they've got, you know, it's all linked into my account.
You don't have to explain to us being completely under the thumb of a company, regardless of what they do. We have seen plenty of that.
Okay, yeah. Hey, Nintendo don't even have any linked information. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, imagine how much worse it would be if they had my fucking.
If anything,
everything.
They have too little. And a game you bought on the Wii,
that's
you
the
should
problem.
Still own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
if it's an NES game, but whatever. It's, if you haven't played it, it's only $15 on the Australian one.
Right.
Which is really good price for a massive game.
Yeah.
I still think that game is great. It, like, if you had the option, I would still say play it on something else probably.
Sure.
Just because it is pretty, moving around that world the first time and soaking it all in and it looking really nice.
Yeah, that's the thing. The art style is great.
And that still holds up because it's a simple enough art style.
Yeah.
There are a couple of times when I'm getting stuck in a bush or something like that.
Yeah, because you're playing on your phone. You're not looking where you're going.
So, but it's a really good conversion for how these things sort of can go.
Yeah.
And it turns out I still really like that game. It's been long enough that I've forgotten all the puzzles.
Mm. Oh, that's good.
So I'm back in.
Oh, speaking of ports, Inside is coming out on the Switch.
Yes.
Soon? I don't know when. I don't know if they said when.
It is coming out.
Which is great. That was one of my games of last year.
Yes.
So good.
One of all of our games of last year.
Yeah.
I think we all loved it.
I'll go in again for sure.
Yeah.
And that's perfect Switch fodder.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's all the news that we got. Should we move on to what we've been playing this week?
Well, before we do that,
oh,
let's talk about our friendly friends at Loot Crate. Loot Crate are
my friendly friends. My aggressive, nasty friends,
yes.
Which to be fair are most of them.
when you're in comedy, yes. But yeah, Loot Crate are back. They're sponsoring this episode as they've sponsored many previous ones. We really appreciate their support. If you haven't heard us talk about them before, Loot Crate is the best surprise you know is coming. They offer an epic range of pop culture stuff, t-shirts, figurines, books sometimes, like a whole bunch of different stuff.
The last one had a Witcher bottle.
Is it a bottle
stop?
Opener?
It's oh, a it's bottle a stop. So oh. You open a wine bottle, and if you want to save some, I'm never going to use
no.
it.
Yeah.
Because once that wine bottle's
fit,
open.
You probably fit that in a big Mountain Dew bottle. Have you tried that?
It's really well made. It's good high quality, and yeah. I like that little Witcher badge.
It's like
thing.
Pewter or something. It's quite hefty.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, you can get it for less than 20 US bucks a month. You get all this, a bunch of different stuff. That one, yeah, I got as well. Yeah. It has a shaker. What is it called? Slate?
Shaker? Shaker, yeah.
Shaker slate from Breath of the Wild.
Little notebook.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
There's been a bunch of stuff. The t-shirt's Shadow of Mordor, which I really like.
Yeah.
I
do not, but the t-shirt's fine.
Yeah. There's been cool ones. There was like a Megazord one with like a blueprint of Megazord
on
it.
Yeah, their t-shirts are really good. They're yeah. really good quality shirts that yeah. they use
there
to
was,
print their stuff
There was that
on.
Great one. It was just like a nice kind of watercolor painting of Link from yeah. Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
There's yeah, been a bunch of great ones. Sometimes, or once a month, I think, someone wins this fucking crazy mega one with like a console and a wicked game and all this bunch of stuff.
You sound really put off by this.
Yeah.
It's never been me. It's never been me.
I think they
You're
gave
ineligible.
Away a VR headset at some point.
I'm very eligible. So this month's theme, because they're always themed and all the items relate to a theme. This month's theme is mythical. So you get stuff from Marvel, which is quite broad.
Mm-hmm.
But good. Ghostbusters, Stranger Things, and Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Okay.
I'm on board with all of that.
Yeah, I like...
Mythical is a very big... I mean, it just means made up, which yeah. is like any pop culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Except why it just says Marvel. Marvel's a very wide-ranging thing.
A whole company.
Yeah.
A lock of Stan Lee's hair.
We've got everything except for cricket in here. Cricket's... Oh, I guess someone made up cricket at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
World War II, not in here.
Yeah, you have until the 19th of this month, 9 p.m. Pacific time. So just maybe do it by the 18th,
yeah.
just to be sure you don't get cut off by a weird time zone thing.
Mm-hmm.
19th of the month to subscribe to get that month's theme. But yeah, after that cut off, you cannot get it. You'll roll over to the next one, which will probably be good because they all are
equally as good.
Yeah, I've been surprised by the consistency of the quality.
Yeah, yeah.
In them,
it's all been really good. So if you want to get that, if you want to get on board and you haven't already, you want to go to lootcrate.com/filthycasuals, and you put in a little promo code. And what do you think that code might be?
I reckon it's filthy casuals.
Actually, it's yes, it is.
Oh, okay. Oh,
I was going to say just some other thing, but I don't want to dilute the message.
Yeah.
No. This is the wrong place to be fucking around.
Yeah.
Can't afford to be too silly here. A story about two baboons fucking is one thing, but yes. This is different.
The promo code wasn't two baboons fucking. No, it's filthy casuals.
Oh, it should
casuals.
Have been. It should have yeah. been the number two baboons.
No one made
the
it
emoji
that.
For baboon.
Yeah.
And then the eggplant.
But yeah, go to lootcrate.com/filthycasuals. Enter the code filthy casuals and you get, I think it's $3 off a new subscription. So jump on board, get the gaming one because we're all bloody gamers here mm-hmm. and we love games.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, thank you again to Loot Crate.
Adam, can you see this from where you're sitting? There's a bit of Ben's hair.
It's been
in the
bothering
back
me for ages.
That is like spiked up. You know, like when Quimby's like rerunning and he's like real sick and
yeah.
he like slicks his hair back and it gives him the devil horns. From where I am, you've got like
yeah.
one devil horn bit of hair just like sticking up at the back of your head.
The most rascally of the group of youths.
As for that soot that's all over your face from when you were looking in that car's exhaust pipe. So yeah, in terms of what we've been playing this week, I think it's fair to say that it's been a bit, you know, with no big new releases this
yeah.
week. We've all just
very,
been
very
kind of
busy week for everybody as well.
Yes.
So
yes.
Oop.
What the hell was that?
That's that fucking Google phone.
Yeah.
This is why you let Siri do it.
I'll leave this in.
She said something about results from the web.
What the fuck just happened? Did you someone, even touch anything?
No, no. It would have responded to someone saying something that sounded like, "Hey, Google," and then it would have started.
But then it didn't respond when you just said it then.
No.
See, this is a great... Now, no,
I wish I'd never left iPhone.
Now, this is an ad.
Hey, Siri, how well do you function? Special guest.
Let her think.
Ah, this is not working.
Here are some matches for special guest.
Close enough. I've never used Siri. I don't know why they keep trying with this voice stuff. My dad refuses to search for things on his phone with typing.
Yeah.
He always does it with his voice.
Yeah.
And so if we like are having a chat and something comes up and he's like, "Oh, I wonder what that is," he doesn't, you know, subtly look it up on his phone. He goes,
"Yeah.
Now everyone shut up. When was the Battle of Hastings?" No, shut up. It heard you. It heard you. Don't.
How old is too old to put my son up for adoption?
Yeah, the person next to me at work always does the call thing of like, "Call Brian."
Yeah.
Just Siri.
You call Brian.
Siri, what is the Google version of Siri?
Okay, I found this on the web for what is the Google version of...
Man, the machines are taking it. Yeah. This is bullshit.
And they're lazy as well because I feel like they used to try and answer the question, but now they just go, maybe just Google it, kind
of. Yeah. This is the worst episode of Black Mirror ever. Three cunts that can't work out how to get their voice activation to work. Oh, it's like looking into a mirror. It's society reflected back at you.
Our listenership, which is like an average like age of 16, must think we're fucking the worst baby boomer old cunts.
Yeah, that's a horrifying thought, isn't it? I went to the...
What is Snapchat?
I went to the NGV today. How's this for a sweet boomer move?
Well, yeah.
Me going to the NGV for a starter.
Yes.
An old
National
man
Gallery
there,
of Victoria.
National Gallery of Victoria. Yes. An old man walking around the exhibition with the old camcorder out.
Ooh. Oh, nice.
Videoing it. Videoing the exhibition. Nice. Now, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
But it's also technically piracy, which is very hip.
Yeah.
Very youthful.
I mean, you're allowed to take photos in there.
Are you?
You are in the NGV.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I feel like that's crazy.
Yeah.
If I owned a gallery, I would make everyone shut their eyes.
Especially when, like, the whole thing of it is in the gift shop, they're selling the big book of, like, all the work. So it's, like, it's in your best... Like, I just kind of went, well, I kind of want to remember what these look like for inspiration for stuff that I'm doing. So I'll just snap a photo.
Yeah.
If I hadn't been allowed to, I would have shelled out a sweet 40 on that book.
Mm. Did you feel like a spy kind of casing the joint? You know what I mean?
I did a little bit.
Like an art thief rather than a spy.
Yeah.
Yeah. A spy could be an art thief as well. Yeah. Moonlighting.
Absolutely.
A gallery is one of my number one places for the big thought of like, what happens if I just do this? Like, like standing in front of the painting going,
what if I just stab a hole in this?
If I just like casual as anyone's business, just fucking reach over and just lift that one off the wall. Like what immediately happens?
Yeah.
Like,
the gallery is one of my number one places for never going to. They're extremely boring to me.
I work near the NGV and I walk past there every other day and I like it. I like galleries and I like art.
That story is one of my number one stories for never listening to.
You might have a physics degree, but you do not understand art.
See, this is it. We haven't played games this week. We've been out there soaking it up, going to galleries,
walking around
to work,
on lunch breaks,
like, dicks or whatever you do instead of going to the gallery.
Well, I've been knocking about with The Witness, which is a form of art. That looks a bit like, it's pretty artistic looking. Other than that, I played a bit more of Destiny 2. Which I'm imagining you have done, Ben, as well.
I've played a lot more.
Ben's so in deep.
Yeah.
Ben was in the Facebook group this week absolutely just frothing. Going off about frothing hard.
Yeah. So you said you reached level 20. Did you finish the main story as well? Okay.
No. So the main story, like you do all these missions that take you from planet to planet. And then they go, all right, now you got to like build up your levels till you're good enough. And then you can take on the end game.
And it takes like an hour.
Well, it took ages for me.
Yeah,
it took like several evenings because I was at like level 15 when I got to that point, and they were like, "Oh, get to level 20." So that took ages.
It only makes you get to like level 15.
Whatever
it was, the bit where it opens up for a bit, and that didn't take very long for me. And also, it's worth plowing through that main story because it unlocks a bunch of other abilities and stuff that you're gonna wish that you'd have had when you go back to right. go around all the planets.
This game might be one of the best examples for if you don't play it and you listen to people talk about it, it sounds like an alien language.
Man,
any other thing you can kind of piece together and go, oh, okay, I get it, it functions like this, but...
Right.
It is totally like that. It is a needlessly, in my opinion, complex game in a lot of ways because there's all these different things that... Just like, well, this person sells this thing, but not until you get to this level. And then also you need to have this amount of power, which used to be light.
Yes.
And then it's very dense.
I definitely ran up against that when I was playing Destiny 1.
Yeah.
I essentially got to this point in Destiny 1. I got until level 20 where you can't really – you stop leveling up and you start getting these – basically a different form of levels.
And it's the kind of real form and it's yeah. based on your equipment and it goes up when you get better loot and stuff. And
yeah. yeah. So I got to that point with Destiny 1.
Yeah.
I've got to that point with this and I'm probably more inclined to continue with Destiny 2.
Yeah.
Because it just is... a lot of that stuff is more easy to understand and everything else is just more fun as well.
I agree. Right. The game itself, very fun. I'm interested to know if having gotten to basically the point in the story where I feel like you've met most of the characters,
yeah.
if any of them grated on you in the way that they did for me.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's right. No, like it's been kind of too bland to grate on me.
Well, that was what grated, I think. Yeah,
right.
Because when I was like talking about this, trying to remember dialogue that annoyed me, I realized because I watched someone else play some of it, and every line is just like first draft sort of like cliche sort of thing, which is why it was quite hard to remember because it's yeah. a lot of like. And just, yeah, the characters, and it is a small thing because it isn't the point of the game.
I think it's so not the point that it really hasn't even registered me at all.
They have put more effort into trying to make it a thing, this like almost Halo-y kind of
yeah,
campaign
yeah.
mode. That I think that bothered me more because it felt like a missed opportunity of like the characters, skip ahead 30 seconds if you don't want to know anything about the characters, the sassy computer.
Yes.
What a cliche.
Yeah.
The scientist who thinks he's better than you. Yeah. You know what I mean?
This you've just described the two of you so far. The egg. Let's hear all the characters.
Maybe that's what's bothered me with
yeah.
it.
It's hitting too close to yeah. home.
It's too realistic.
Oh, yes. Fan art, please. Yeah, I hear that, but it's just so not why I'm playing it. I just don't care at
all. Totally. And yeah, the point of the game is to make the numbers go up.
Yes. And yeah, and that's where I'm at. Like, and I've liked essentially not the story, just the locations, really.
It's a beautiful looking game.
Yeah.
It looks great. The sky
yes.
is some of the nicest sky I've ever seen.
Yeah, the terrain, the colors, it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like that kind of crack thing of like, I'm addicted to getting the next good gun.
And it literally is that.
Yeah.
Well, it's not literally crack, but it's very gambling-esque.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is just something about that thing that is so pervasive in a lot of games now.
Yeah.
Sort of doesn't sit right with me. There's something about it that, especially with all these micro, which Destiny 2 has a little bit of, but not with anything pertinent to the gameplay.
Yeah.
All that microtransaction stuff, just it really does... take me out of it, I guess.
Yeah.
And that sort of style of thing is
what do you think where you
very
have
manipulative.
To, like, right. Leave the game and like go onto the store and enter your credit card details yeah. and go back into the game is just such a bummer.
Yeah,
like,
which yeah. there's such some of that in Destiny 2, but it's only for...
it's very much not core.
No, it's right. it's for aesthetic things.
But right. this game, for anyone who hasn't played it yet, or for you, Tommy, it's like... For me, it's like No Man's Sky, where it's like... All right, there's this very simple but very, to me, satisfying gameplay loop that I can do while I'm listening to music or podcasts yeah. or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the gunplay mechanics are so good. And, yeah, like, it looks great. The loot looks great. I'm just really into it.
Totally. Right. It is a very satisfying just base sort of 30 seconds that you're repeating.
Yeah.
I remember when there was some DVD that came with Halo 2
yeah.
and one of the designers from that said... Every game is 30 seconds long.
Right.
And it's what you do in that 30 seconds, you're repeating. So for Halo, his example was you shoot, you melee an alien, you throw a grenade, that's the game.
Right, which is basically Destiny
as well. And that is what
well.
This is as well, you know?
Yeah.
And that 30 seconds is tuned so perfectly.
Yep.
And it's the wrapping around it that's just kind of not clicking with me that much, but sure. It is a very well-made game that I totally understand why people get super into.
Yeah. When people in our group have sort of gone, oh yeah, doing raids, who wants to form a little clan and go in? That's the part of me where I go, oh man, I wish I was into this because that sounds like fun.
And that, I wish I had the time to do that.
Yeah.
But I don't think that I ever will.
Yeah, right.
But
yeah,
I'm happy doing what I'm doing.
I mean, that aspect of it, you do kind of once the raid, you know.
Right.
So you set aside a Sunday one day like you're going to a party.
Yep.
Goes to a party on a Sunday.
Look, mate, I haven't been to many, so I don't really
Sunday sesh.
Exactly. Summer's coming. Sunday sesh.
Public holiday on Monday.
Public holiday on Friday.
Quickly, let's talk about this. So this week is meant to, this kind of crept up on me. The SNES Mini is out.
Oh, yes.
This week. The release date is the 29th of September.
Do you remember
the 29th of September?
So you and I both have it on pre-order. I've got from EB. Mine's from EB.
Yes.
I think, you know, most people I know who are interstate are getting that, like, they post them out. They go, well, it's, you know, you've pre-ordered it.
Yeah.
You want it to turn up at your house on the day it comes out. But that day here in Victoria is a public holiday.
Yes.
So I checked out, I logged into my account. I'm not getting mine till Monday.
Yeah.
We're just not getting it on the day it comes out because it's a fucking public holiday.
Yeah.
Which for our interstate and overseas listeners, it's a public holiday in honour of there being a big sporting match.
Yes.
The day after the public holiday.
Yes.
The fucking jocks have won again.
I'm really torn.
What more of a perfect fucking cutting down can you get? All these gamers are not getting their console on the day they want it because of a sporting event. It's pretty perfect.
Yeah, buying one of them during the week.
Yeah.
I
was pretty close to not pre-ordering it, but then I did. I'm so glad I did now because it's just kind of snuck up on me.
Mm.
And just looking at the list of games, like, man, there's a ton of stuff on there that look, who knows? Maybe it'll be a thing that I kind of play 10 minutes of everything on it once and then never turn on again. But there's a lot of meaty games
so
in there.
Any video game
well,
for you?
Yeah. That's actually just... That's more about me than it is about the SNES Mini. But the NES Mini I kind of didn't – because I knew that's – I mean, that's all those games are. They're very small.
Yeah.
But this has like a bunch of RPGs on it and like the Mario RPG I've never
played. There's some big-ass games on there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the reason I didn't get the NES Mini is, A, because I didn't pre-order quickly enough and then it was just gone.
Yeah.
Well, they're making more of them again soon.
Yeah, but B, because I had a NES.
Yeah.
And the reason I jumped on this is because I never had a SNES.
Yeah.
And I really never played a significant amount of any of these games.
Yeah.
Well, with the NES, I just went, I don't, all those games, like, I'll boot up and just for novelty's sake.
Yeah.
Whereas this has enough stuff on it that I'm like, I genuinely want to go through and play that whole thing again.
Yep.
Or play it for the first time. Like,
and
the
Star Fox 2 is a
Star
big
Fox
one.
2.
Yeah.
That is fucking rad.
Yeah.
Still.
That's
like,
so cool.
So cool that they're doing that.
Yeah. So, like, the Castlevania game that's on there, Ghouls and Ghosts, like, all this stuff on there that.
The Mario RPG, which I guess I never really knew existed.
Yeah,
is just something that I've like today gone, oh wow, this is gonna be fun.
Final Fantasy 3 Secret of Mana.
Yeah,
it looks real cool too. I watched like
the menu stuff.
A video of someone opening the American one. European and Japanese, I guess. NES looks so much nicer.
Man, we lucked out there.
Yes.
We really lucked out there.
Yeah.
It looks so much better.
Yeah.
So I guess that'll be something we talk about next week. But I just found that very. I just realized that today. I'm like, hang on a minute. We're not going to fucking get. That's kind of a shame.
Yeah.
So
we also get a day off though, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, if you have a job, it's cool.
I get to walk around during the day aimlessly wandering like I do with every day, but this time there'll be more people around and I'll be too afraid to go out.
Yeah. We'll actually be recording our bonus episode then.
Yeah. I'll be working more than usual.
Yeah.
So I've been playing, I've talked about it the last couple of weeks, Rayman Legends on the Switch.
Which I've put a great deal more time into since we've talked about it. Yeah.
Oh, Rayman.
Yeah.
And feet.
And how are you finding it?
Leg ends.
Okay.
Don't engage.
Leg ends, boys. Like at the ends of your legs.
You Why are you saying leg ends? I don't get it.
Rayman Legends. Leg
ends. Oh, Legends.
Like
okay.
Feet.
Very good.
Listen, I watch Rick and Morty. You might not understand.
Very good.
I'm too stupid to get that.
I'm such a Jerry right now. Yeah, so last night I got up to the credits, but right. There's still like a whole
the
world
opening credits
left to unlock. Excuse me?
The opening credits?
Yeah, I turned it on.
Yes.
And I love it. The loading screen, the company logos at the start.
Oh, so good.
So into it. Yeah, so I've kind of a bit, I still feel like I'm far from finishing it, but yeah. Cuz there's so much in there.
So that's all the DLC and stuff from when it was first like released, is that what it is?
I guess so.
Because there's a shit ton of stuff.
Well, wasn't so most of that costumes and things like that?
The costumes are in there that you unlock. And even then, like, I've still yet to unlock. I think I've unlocked like a third of them or something.
Yeah.
There's over the course of it, you unlock levels that are from Origins, which was the game before it.
Right.
That it's kind of the follow-up to. So all of them are in there. I haven't unlocked most of them. And you also unlock... It's kind of a bit of the Mario, I guess, galaxy trick of sending you back into the level, but it's a bit fucked up.
Right.
So these things pop up that are like invasion paintings where it's like baddies from another world have invaded this painting. The levels are called paintings that you've previously finished and you're running back through them the other way. Like the level's kind of slightly altered. But then there's like it's kind of weird because you... The world that I just finished where I saw the credits run, I was surprised that that was the end because there's like another world that's locked away in the order after that when you're on the world screen.
Yeah, there's also like a very Mario thing where you get the end and then all these harder levels after
that. I think that's kind of what it is.
Yeah.
But I just think it – I mean, I talked about it the first time about how it looks amazing. It feels amazing. The production values are just incredible.
Yeah.
The mechanics keep constantly changing. There's this cool thing where some levels you get granted like a kind of punching thing that like travels. So it's like you can basically shoot.
Yeah.
And it kind of just does all these little things that you just have for this level. Like it kind of just is not afraid to go, we'll just let you do this for this level because that's just the kind of design we want to do. Like it's not married to doing anything in a particular way.
That Black Betty level.
What's really cool about them, in all the worlds, you do the boss and then the level after the boss is a level like that. So it's a music level where you're running along and it's almost like a rhythm game where you're jumping in time and punching people to the beats of the music. And they kind of get harder as they go along, but they're basically just a really fun kind of ride. And I really like that thing of the bosses are pretty challenging and then you finish your boss and you get this kind of fun little reward level after it.
Yeah.
You kind of always know they're coming, but they're great. They're really well done. It's also the design of it. It's really cool to play a platform game that isn't just here's the lava level, here's the underwater level.
Yeah,
there is like an underwater section, and it handles better than any underwater platforming game section I've ever played before. Are you up to that bit?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
It is such a relief to play a swimming level where the mechanic of how you swim doesn't make you want to fucking snap the controller in half. You just can move around really freely. You know what I mean? You're not like, there's not a delay. There's not like a button that you have to push to hover. You just can move.
Yeah.
How must feel like to be Kieran Perkins?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. There's a bonus game where you write your name on your milk.
US version, how it must feel to be Michael Phelps.
Nice.
There's a bonus level with a bong.
Pulling huge bongs. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really love it. And it definitely, like, it's that same sort of crack thing of, like, every time you come out of a level, there's two different things that you're trying to collect in each level, and both of them unlock different things within the game. So you come out of a level and you've unlocked two new levels and you've unlocked a new costume for your character.
Yes,
like just that thing of coming out and like there's all these new little things to kind of pick apart and explore, and there's these little lucky tickets, these little scratchy tickets that you get. There's heaps of stuff in there. There's daily challenges that you can do where you get ranked against people online. Like there's so much in it. It's such a complete package.
I've found that a bit overwhelming. There's just like I don't really know exactly what my goals are in the game of like, am I trying to collect the little blue dudes? Am I trying to unlock other levels? Am I trying to I don't really know, but it's fun.
That's my one criticism of it, and I had the same thing. You just kind of get thrown in and you kind of have to work out how it's all progressing. And the fact that
sometimes you're playing soccer if you want.
Well, like, that bit you can kind of avoid. That bit you kind of don't have to go. So
I genuinely just have been like wandering around, jumping into stuff.
Wherever, That's it. So all of it, all the levels are accessed by this main gallery, where and the levels are all just paintings that you jump into and then you
I'm go. Out.
See, I just like kind of wandering around.
Yeah. It's that if I had to pick a criticism of it, that nature of them just being paintings that you hop into, there's not it's such a rich world. Like, it's all so well designed that it's just a bit of a shame that there's not kind of a bit more kind of story or it's not like you get, oh, you're at the end of this land and now, hey, we're going over here. It's just now you're out of the painting, go hop in that painting. It's all the disjointed nature of it is.
It's like how Crash 1, you were traveling around an overworld, and Crash 2, you were just jumping into
holes.
That's
exactly what it feels like. It's kind of a bit of a shame. But also, that's what they're going for, is just really tight platforming mechanics. It continues to throw new stuff at you all the time. If you like platformers, it's one of the best I've ever played. Like, it feels fresh.
Yeah.
There's a world where at the start of each level, a kind of a magician dude comes and turns you into a duck, and you go, oh, okay, I guess I can't punch or I can't. No, you still have all your abilities. You're just a duck for literally no reason.
Yeah.
You just look like a duck and you're quacking as you run along. And it's that sort of stuff is very funny.
I bet there was one dude in the office who's like, no, fuck Rayman. It should be a duck. We should make a game about a duck. And they just like went, okay, one level.
And he's like the most talented coder that they have. He's like, if there's not a duck in this thing, I fucking walk.
I'll give you one level. We call the level Going Quackers. All right. I'm out.
And the duck should be a doctor. but can't recommend that game enough.
Yeah.
Really great fun.
A lot of personality and a lot of style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's kind of all we have for this week. Am I correct?
I believe so. Yeah.
So next week we'll be back. We'll have some SNES Mini thoughts, hopefully.
Very good month next month too for video games, I feel like. So
a lot
it should
of stuff
be
coming up.
Interesting. Oh, there was a teaser for a Red Dead trailer.
Oh, yeah.
But
we will talk about that when the trailer comes out.
The actual trailer will be out a few hours after this goes up.
Right.
Yeah, that will be dropping very soon. But we can expect that to be a more fully fleshed out idea of what the gameplay is going to be.
I will bet you $3 million that you will see a cowboy.
Okay.
Ooh,
I won't take that bet.
I'm taking that bet.
Whoa!
All right.
Oh, you're Maverick. Oh.
Cool. Well, Patreon, support us on that, and you can get in time to get the Super Metroid episode, which will be coming out very, very shortly.
Yes.
Go to our website, filthycasuals.com.au, for tickets to our live show in Sydney, December 16. Would be wonderful to see as many of the filth there as possible.
Yes. A bit of a Christmas treat.
Buy early.
Buy early. Please buy early.
Yes. But the tickets won't be up when you hear this, though. They'll
be up. They will.
Yes, they will. They?
Yeah.
Yes.
Not anymore, because they've all sold out, baby. No. Okay, they will be
Don't
up.
Don't dilute the message.
Bring your switches and stuff. Yeah, we'll be hanging out, making an afternoon of it. And,
yes.
That venue is fantastic. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We're on the socials. You can find all that stuff on our website. Hit us up with game recommendations or just anything you want to say over email. We love getting all the stuff from you guys during the week. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
rest in peace, Queen Mother. We miss you every day.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.